Giving to God's work brings a reciprocity from God. It shows that you can't outgive God. And if you give to further His work, He will see to it that you are blessed in return. You can't outgive God.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message called The Key to Contentment. This is the eighth and final chapter of the series, Philippians, the Joyful Letter. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
The whole world is in search of peace and contentment. We wish we could wake up and be happy with our lot in life and enjoy the blessing of just being content and at peace. Yet they so often elude us. In today's final message from our series in the book of Philippians, Paul is going to encourage us to practice contentment, trusting God to take care of our every need. In a world that seems to be getting more and more unhappy with each passing day, today's message is a must for the Christian that travels to the beat of a different drum, that of following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one who came to bring peace to our souls and eternal life to those who place their faith in Him. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the final message in our series in Philippians entitled, The Key to Contentment.
Have we learned how? When God really pours out the blessing, or you get some promotion, or you're doing better than the neighbor next door to you, do you know how to experience that without getting proud? Do you know how to abound? Have we learned how to handle success and good times without it going to our head? You know what I've noticed in life, and this is true, I've noticed this, it's easier to pass the valley test than it is the success test. Because I've seen people, and I'm talking about preachers and business people alike, who greatly succeeded. And until they succeeded, when they were running low, when they were just trying to gather a few people or just get to first base in their business, they were humble and they were seeking God and they were pressing into Him and they were praying. But when they hit the high point, when they hit success, when they began to really abound, they started strutting. They started strutting. They quit seeking God. They started, you could tell, kind of saying, you know, yeah, I am all that and a bag of chips. Uh-huh. Amen. And I watched success ruin them because pride precedes a fall. So do you know how to be really blessed and keep your head? See, Paul said, I know both. Amen. Just for this tonight, just hearing that tonight, that's worth the trip tonight. Because listen, you're either running low or you're running high. Maybe you're somewhere in between. But what if God were to bless your socks off? Could you handle it? Or what if you were to go into a real valley? Could you handle that? And still say with Paul, I'm content. I've learned to be content. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Are y'all there? Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Oh, I got to tell you guys, I've seen great success destroy preachers. I've known preachers who were destroyed by great success. I've known business people that ended up walking away from God once they got greatly successful. And I've seen people go through a terrible trial and walk away from God. They didn't know how to navigate running low, didn't know how to navigate running high. We need this gift. We need to learn from Paul because Paul learned it from Jesus. Amen. Now, next, Paul gives the secret to doing all of this. He says in verse 13, I want you to read it with me. I can do all things. Stop there. Those first five words are positive thinking. But let's get rid of positive thinking. Let's go to Christian thinking. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. The secret, says Paul, to being able to be content, to doing the things that I'm sharing with you, is Christ who strengthens. you and me through it all. Paul had learned to face all of life in the strength of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you about what I've learned. The more I go on in God, I got to tell you, the more I've learned to draw from His Spirit day by day, and then hour by hour, and guess what? Sometimes moment by moment, I've learned as I've gone on in God, and I've walked with God most of my life, and I can tell you, I feel like I'm just barely learning some things, barely scratching the surface on some things, but I've learned to draw from Him, to draw from Him. I've learned that if I'll look to Him, He's there. If I'll pray, He answers. That if I need Him and say, Lord, I need You, He's right there. I've learned it. I've learned it. When I'm tired, I draw from Him. When I'm discouraged, I cast it onto Him. When I'm perplexed, I ask wisdom from Him. When I don't know which way to go, I seek direction from Him. He's my all in all, and I draw from Him more and more. More and more, I'm perfectly willing to say, Lord, I can't do this without You. Who is sufficient for these things, Paul said. Not me, not without God. I need Him. If you need Him, say, I need Him with me. Everywhere and at all times. I've learned to draw deep from the wells of salvation for all my needs. I love the old hymn, and at the end of this service tonight, we're going to sing this hymn. But here's what it says, learning to lean. I love it. It's so simple, so beautiful. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. Now listen to this, listen to these lyrics. Sad, brokenhearted, at an altar I knelt. I found peace that was so serene. And all that He asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lean. There's a glorious victory each day now for me. I found peace so serene. He helps me with each task. If I'll only ask every day now, I'm learning to lean. Amen? That is good stuff. Read it one more time. Read the chorus with me. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. Can we give Him a hand of thanksgiving tonight? Amen. Amen. Now next, we're going to discover the reason for Paul's desperate financial need. The great apostle Paul had a desperate financial need. He says in verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Distress is a strong word. Now Paul had always worked at the trade of tent making to provide for his own needs. It was his choice. He could have let the people support him, that is the church folks, but he chose to not take advantage of what God had given him total blessing to do. But by the time he wound up in Rome, he could not support himself while in chains. He can't build a tent, make a tent, weave a tent in chains. But it wasn't like him to tell others about his needs. So what did he do? Well, he tells us in verse 6 and 7 what he did. He prayed about it. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds for Jesus Christ. So we know what he did in verses 6 and 7. He had a desperate financial need, but he did not tell anybody about it. He went to the Lord. And what happened was, things had ultimately reached the point of his being in literal distress. The Philippians had come through, finally, now at last, with the needed finances. Now, I want you to notice next how his needs have been totally overlooked by churches he founded. Can I say that again? His needs have been totally overlooked by the churches he founded at the beginning of his ministry. He says in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that means when I first started preaching, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, this kills me. Everybody say no church. Shared with me, gave to me, concerning giving and receiving, but only you, Philippians, only you. Only you. None of the other churches helped me. What a sad statement. Paul had led thousands to Christ. He had established multiple churches. He was the spiritual father of untold numbers. Yet none of those churches had lifted a finger to help him in his travels. None of them. None of them. I think of Antioch. I think of Galatia. I think of Ephesus. I think of all these churches that he founded, and only one took up an offering and sent it to him. Wow. Now, and then you got to wonder, you look at the end of the book of Romans, and he names names that he loved, people that he loved. Where were Mary, who he names? Andronicus, Junia, Urbane, all the others that he greets at the close of the book of Romans. Long list of names. Where were they? Where? And now in Rome, as he's chained up, history's repeating itself, and Paul has literally been left to starve, if not for the Philippian church. As then, so now. It is a very subtle trap to become so engrossed in you and yours and me and mine and our own life that we forget to give to the work of the Lord by supporting those who are in service for the Lord of the work. Hear me on this, because I'm just reading the Bible to you. This isn't a Jeffism. I didn't come up with this. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm reading Paul. Okay? How'd they forget him? They forgot him. How'd they do it? They just did. They were too busy with themselves. So Paul says, let me brag on you Philippians a little bit more. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. That's the Philippians again. Giving to Paul's ministry was not a one-time thing for the Philippians. They had done it once and again when he was in Thessalonica, and that was about 100 miles away. And let me tell you something. Try walking 100 miles tomorrow. How motivated would you and I be to walk 100 miles to hand somebody some financial help? That's a long way from Philippi to Thessalonica. But the Philippian church sent somebody 100 miles once and again to hand the man of God, their apostle, some financial help. And, you know, when he was in Thessalonica, he was only there maybe 3 weeks. So twice at least they sent help in a 3-week time period. Somebody walked that. How long would it take to walk 100 miles? How long would it take? I don't know, because I cycle all the time. How long would it take? It'd take days, take a couple of days. Somebody traversed a 100-mile journey, and they did not have I-35. They didn't have cement. These were rough roads, animals, beasts, robbers. But they went 100 miles to take him a gift. Twice in a 3-week time period, at least. Wow. Now, verse 17, Paul says, now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Can we just let this man's spirit touch us for a minute? I want you to hear what he's saying. He's saying, you sent me financial help, but you know what? I've learned to be content. God takes care of me. It's not your money that I wanted, but I wanted the blessing that was going to come to you because you brought it to me. Wow. That is powerful stuff. You brought it to me. And so I want the fruit that's going to abound to your, everybody say account. Now let me ask you, what account? What account? Did the Philippians have what? The first bank of Philippi? No. What account is he talking about? Their bank account? No. What account? Their heavenly account. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in, say it, heaven, where thieves can't break in and steal, and moth and rust can't corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So everybody, please hear me tonight. Everyone here has a spiritual bank account. Do you hear me tonight? I'm showing you the Word of God here. This is not me. I'm not coming up with this. This is not a gimmick. I'm telling you, he said, I want the fruit that's going to abound to your account. That's a banking term. So we have an account. And when we serve the Lord, things go in it. When we obey the Lord, things go in it. We're storing up. We can't take anything with us, but we can send some things ahead. And what we send ahead is when we serve the Lord, obey the Lord, bless other people, give to His work, help His work to continue, then something happens in the spiritual arena, in our own spiritual bank account. It grows as if by interest. And how did they put things in the account? Whatever you give to, you empower it to continue. Remember that. You go to Burger King, you just empower them to continue. You have Netflix, you just empower them to continue. Wherever you put your money, you empower them to continue. Because nobody in the world's financial setup can continue without finances. No business, no nothing, no ministry. So what did they do? They said, he's our apostle. He's reaching thousands of people. I'm going to give to him so that he can continue, so he can eat, so he has a roof over his head, so that he can continue, so that he can buy a ticket on a ship, so that he can travel. I'm going to help him. And it's not that I'm giving to the man, I'm giving to the ministry on the man. So Paul says, I am so thrilled you sent me the money because I know how God's going to bless you, that you're going to have fruit in your account. So they were laying up treasure in heaven in their unselfish giving to Paul's ministry. One preacher was heard to say, I read this recently, if you want treasure in heaven, you better give some money to somebody who's going there. Now, I would change that a little bit. If you want treasure in heaven, sow some finances into someone, I would say your local church, starting there, because we're reaching thousands of people every day. You're not giving to Jeff. You're not giving to human beings. You're giving to the ministry God laid on this church. And fruit goes into your account. I mean, why don't I preach this on Sunday? I mean, fruit goes into your account. Did I not just read it right here? It's right here. I'll never scam you. I'll never tell you a lie or manipulate you. But I will tell you what I see in God's word. And these Philippians were blessed. Paul says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, that is the money. And look the way he describes it. It's a sweet smelling aroma. It's an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. So giving from the right heart, the right motive, to the right thing is a pleasant fragrance to God. What if every time we gave our tithes and offerings, we imagined God smiling with pleasure with an expression of just having smelled a beautiful fragrance? Because that's what Paul saw. J.B. Phillips, Bible translator, rendered this verse, verse 18, this way. Paul saying, now I have everything I want. In fact, I'm rich, he says, in chains. Such generosity is like a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases the very heart of God. So how can anybody who names the name of Christ not give something to God's work? Amen. Not give something to God's work. So Pastor Jeff, I can't give 10%. Well, all right, give 2%. Give 3, start somewhere, but give something to God's work. Because I just read to you how God blesses your account. All right, I'm going to leave it. I've sown the seed. Now next we come to the verse we all know regarding God's provision. This is one of our favorite ones. Verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever quoted that and claimed it and thanked God for it? Amen? All right. We love to claim that verse. Oh, yeah, my God will supply all my needs. But guess what? Let's keep in mind that this promise is given to the church, the only church that had continuously given to the work of the Lord in the Apostle Paul's life. Now, let me balance this. It's not that God won't help us whether or not we give. He will, and he does. But it does point out that giving to God's work brings a reciprocity from God. It shows that you can't outgive God. And if you give to further his work, he will see to it that you are blessed in return. You can't outgive God. You can't. Now, Paul brings his letter to a close, as was his custom. He sends greetings to the saints. Verse 20 and 21, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Uh-oh, what? Now, verse 22 shows that during his incarceration, he made good use of it, because he reached members of Caesar's household with the gospel. And the Caesar whose household he reached happened to be Nero, who was an insane lunatic, who was one of the worst emperors Rome ever had. It was Nero who burned Christians at the stake to light up his garden, covered them in pitch, and lit them on fire. That Nero died young and died insane, but Paul didn't care. He wasn't afraid of Nero, so he infiltrated Nero's household with the gospel. Amen. He said, you put me in these chains, you get me in close proximity to Nero and his household, I'm going to reach it for the gospel. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't sit around all day playing a violin. He said, I'm going to blossom where I'm planted. I'm going to reach people no matter where you put me. And I'm going to get into Nero's household. And I'm going to see people come to Christ in his household. Amen. So he reached some of Nero's slaves. He reached some of those people who filled all the different various offices connected with his administration. He didn't care how wicked they were. He didn't bewail how wicked they were. He said, I'm just going to reach you. And so Nero, unbeknownst to him, he started being surrounded by people who've been born again because of this guy down there who had appealed to Caesar. And now he's down there winning Caesar's household to Jesus Christ. Wow. I love Paul. You can tell I do love Paul. No greater Christian that's ever lived, in my opinion. And that's not to in any way minimize Peter, James, John. They were all incredible men of God. But this Paul, whoa, you could not keep him down. Amen. Well, we come to the close. The Philippian epistle began with grace in chapter 1, verse 2, and it ends with grace. Here's the last verse. Read it with me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus has been the theme of the letter, and joy the result of knowing him. His name is mentioned more than 40 times, which comes down to about once in every two or three verses. Paul magnified, mentioned Jesus. So I want us to finish by quoting together one of Philippians' most encouraging verses. Can we stand? And I love this one. I love many of them, but I love this one. It's good news for all of us. Chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to quote it out loud with me. Can we? Let's read it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To find out more about Pastor Jeff's ministry and Turning Point Church, visit us at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. As a reminder, Life Talk is a listener-supported ministry. We exist to bring God's Word to thousands of people in your area on this great station. So your prayers and financial support go a long way in helping us with this endeavor. Thanks again for listening today. We look forward to meeting with you once again on our next Life Talk broadcast.